We are awash with cocaine in Ireland. Almost 1,000 kilos have been seized by the guards already this year. That's a ton of cocaine. Picture it, it's the size of a small car. And that's just the ones that we know about. It's just a fraction of what's making it into this country. And ultimately, into the bloodstream of thousands of users every day. Today we're talking about Ireland and the fact that it's being bombarded by huge cocaine shipments coming across the Atlantic. And while there is occasional good news, I mean, we all saw last week's jailing of 8 men who were involved in the massive MV Matthew smuggling attempt, do you remember it, in 2023? The picture in this country and across Europe is stark. We're talking international cartels, terrorist groups, gangland crime and limited defence capabilities. And I'm telling you, this is not just hyperbole. Let me bring you two stats that really stand out for me. The EU drugs agency, EUDA, said in June that record quantities of cocaine had been seized in Europe in 2023, 419 tonnes. That was compared to 323 tonnes in 2022. And the UN Office on Drugs and Crime reported record high cocaine production levels, nearly doubling since 2020. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty, and my first guest today is former Irish Naval Commander Eugene Ryan. And Eugene actually helped to found the Worldwide Anti-Drug Surveillance Centre, MAOC-N, and it led to the interception of some of Ireland's largest drug seizures. Eugene, maybe you'd start by telling me about all the global agencies that are involved in the detection and the interception of drug smuggling.
Well, it all starts from MAOC-N, as it's called, the Maritime Analysis and Operations Centre Narcotics, which is based in Portugal, in Lisbon. And they would get a lot of intel from across the water in the States, from Europol, from Interpol, etc., etc., and from the different countries within MAOC-N, which is 7 European countries, including Ireland. So what happens is they gather all the information and they hand over to the country to which the motherload is scheduled to go.
And where is this intelligence coming from, Eugene, in the first place? I mean, what intelligence gathering methods are being used to try and detect and prevent these crimes? Is it a lot of tip-offs and informants?
There's a lot of things. There's a thing called profiling done by every country. Profiling of different gangs, different people. And every agency has agents on the ground. People, for instance, living in an area like Trinidad and Tobago, down Venezuela, etc., etc., they would have their own intel people down there. They would be sending back intel to the main agencies. There are people everywhere working for agencies from around the world.
And what are the main countries of origin or regions of origin for these drugs, and which criminal organisations are involved in these drug importations?
I suppose the main one at the moment is the Sinaloa cartel based in Mexico, and you have also Colombian cartels, which not so many now, but there used to be a lot more. Colombia, Venezuela is a very big hotbed. Trinidad and Tobago seems to be a launching pad for a lot of operations. And you have gangs in Europe. You have gangs, we have our own gangs here in Ireland. You have our own Irish gangs abroad, as you know. The gangs everywhere. The drugs is a very lucrative business, so much so these days than ever before, because we're using a lot more cocaine than we ever did in the past.
I think one thing that really struck people if they followed the case of the MV Matthew was just how international these crimes and cartels are. There was obviously links here in Ireland, but there was also Iranian and Hezbollah fixers involved in that particular case.
Well, Hezbollah, because I served in the Middle East. I served in Israel, I served in Lebanon, and I served in Jordan, in Amman and Jordan. Hezbollah has always been dealing in drugs. Any of these criminal gangs will deal in whatever they have to deal in to earn money. It's all about money. And nowadays, gangs all over the world, there's no barrier really except for the authorities and what barriers the authorities put up.
I mean, the impression that you would get if you were following the news, particularly I think over the last 2 to 3 years, is that the scale of these seizures has really changed. The volume has increased significantly. Is that correct?
It's absolutely correct. The production has gone up as well in these countries that are in Colombia, Mexico, Venezuela, etc. The reason the amount has gone up is because the demand has grown. People have a lot more money. There's a lot of money going around in the world. And also, I suppose, because we have been effective in a lot of areas of interdiction. So they need to get more tempted importation of a lot more of the drug in order to get more through. It's in hundreds of tons that are leaving Venezuela and Mexico. I did two jobs in 2007 and 2008, and we got 3.2 tons in two jobs. And that was worth 1.2 billion euro. I mean, that was in 2007, 2008. Nowadays, you can see the amount. I mean, the 2.2 tons on the MV Matthew was a huge amount, our biggest ever. And I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate my colleagues, because I know a lot of them and they did a fantastic job, even though they were stretched with resources at the time.
I mean, there are obviously different routes for getting drugs into Ireland. You can take them in by land, you can fly them in. And we saw that case at the end of last year where two men were convicted using a light aircraft to fly 8 million euro worth of heroin into, I think, Weston Airport in Dublin. But is the primary route for getting large, and I mean really large, as you say, in the tons of drugs into Ireland, the sea?
Well, it is. And the reason for that is you can put huge consignments of drugs on ships. Now, you do get the coopering, as was happening the other day in Ireland. The ship, the mothership, drops off a smaller load around different parts of Europe to boats or trawlers or yachts or whatever that come out to them to take them off to smuggle them ashore. I have no doubt that is happening continuously around the Irish coast. Because, I mean, you don't think there doesn't seem to be a shortage of cocaine on the streets of Ireland.
You've been credited, Eugene, with masterminding some of the biggest drug seizures in Irish history. Drug seizures where army rangers actually board cargo ships. And we've seen some of that really dramatic footage where we saw the army rangers come onto the MV Matthew. Tell me what is involved in an operation like that.
Well, the Ranger Wing, which now I'm glad to say comprises of not only Army, but Navy also on part of their teams because of the nautical element, they're constantly training for this. Irish naval vessels at sea continuously do abseiling exercises with the Air Corps and the Ranger Wing onto naval vessels, as do the Irish naval boarding teams. On every naval vessel, you have teams of specialist boarding personnel who train continuously, particularly at night, because we prefer operating in the dark than we do in the daylight.
It sounds dangerous, Eugene.
It is. But they're trained for it.
Are these operations, Eugene, becoming more sophisticated, grander in scale, and therefore harder to detect?
Absolutely. The narcos have plenty of money. Right, they're actually building these semi-submersible submarines constantly, and they send them across from South America to into Africa. And these are manned and unmanned submarines. The unmanned ones would be semi-submerged. In other words, the antenna or the little control tower would stick out of the water so that it can be navigated by satellite. They don't need to have anybody on board. And they just run aground on the coast of Africa somewhere, maybe around Morocco, Western Sahara, places like that. So they're very sophisticated. Then there are submarines, manned submarines, which attempt it every now and again. And the only way we're going to get those is with prior intelligence. And that's where Mayakin and our relationship with South American country forces is very important.
Eugene Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on News Talk Daily today.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
I'm also joined today by Cormac O'Keefe. He is the security correspondent for the Irish Examiner. You're very welcome to the podcast, Cormac. And I know because I've read the extensive columns that you've put out in the Examiner recently on the illegal drugs trade into Ireland. You might start, Cormac, by telling me why this country is a growing target for drugs trafficking.
Well, it's our geographic location, number one. We're on the western edge of Europe. There are three or four main trafficking routes from South America and the Caribbean. One is the northern route, which passes by us. So that northern route would encompass Ireland, Britain, Belgium and the Netherlands, for example. Antwerp and Rotterdam by far dominate massive seizures of cocaine in Europe. And we have many ports, and as we now know, many even more beaches where large consignments of cocaine can land. So we're very attractive from our geographic location. We are also linked to the UK, so we are a major supplier of cocaine into the UK. So the drugs land on the coast, and they are brought across the border to ferry over to Scotland. And the Scottish gangs are major players in cocaine trafficking, and they supply the British market. Some of it might go on to Europe. Some might stay in Ireland.
So to be clear, the majority of drugs that are landing in Ireland aren't staying in the domestic market here?
No. I mean, the bulk of the cocaine seizures and the bulk of the cocaine traffic coming into Ireland is going to the UK market. That would include seizures from Rosslare. Rosslare port would be also a key destination point for cocaine, all the way across to Fines in County Limerick, which had a 300 kilogram haul at the end of 2023. British gangs are very active here, and they sometimes would link up with Irish gangs who might specialise in taking the drugs in and bringing it across the north.
Give us a flavour of the quantities and where they're being landed.
Yeah, well, I suppose we all remember, not least from last week, the MV Matthew, which was the record haul by far, 2.25 tonnes of cocaine. That was more than twice, or approaching twice, the largest haul we would have had previously. And then last week we had 440 kilograms down by Court McSherry in Cork. This year alone, apart from the 441, there was 152 kilograms that was seized in water that would have come in through Rosslare Port. Not long before that, there was 182 kilograms in County Laois. I mean, these are enormous seizures. Like 5 years ago, these would be colossal seizures of cocaine. There's a huge amount of cocaine being produced. Secondly, we have increasing number of major trafficking gangs physically based in South America. So the Mexican cartels are there, which they wouldn't have been there before. And we have cartels from Europe. The Italian mafia will be there. The Balkan criminal gangs are very influential there. So you have more gangs trafficking then from South America to Europe.
So give me an idea then of how the trafficking has changed as the scale and the volume of drugs being exported or trafficked has gotten bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Well, they've obviously had to get more complicated. Have they? Sophisticated?
They have to. Traditional method is putting cocaine into legal cargo in containers that comes over from South America to Europe. The MV Matthew was different. They actually bought a boat. And the most recent cases we're seeing is slightly different again, where they are corrupting a crew on a commercial ship. This is a legitimate commercial vessel. So they would corrupt / intimidate a crew, and maybe even only part of a crew on a legitimate ship, to smuggle the drugs in. I mentioned earlier about semi-submersibles. So you have many different methods. And air, of course, is also used as well.
How are they disguising the drugs then?
Well, they've seen very elaborate mechanisms for hiding cocaine in all sorts of containers and in all sorts of ways. We've had cases of cocaine being trafficked in liquid form. So it might even be in jeans or in clothing, and then they extract it at the other end. We've had a case in Ireland where it was found in some kind of alcohol bottles that were brought in. So they're extremely, extremely sophisticated. But sources here point out they have billions to spend on every conceivable way to bring the product in. They're earning so much money from it, and there's so much of it being produced that they are able to use any and every method. The issue is then, how well are we, capabilities wise, to combat here in Ireland?
And I'm going to get to that, because I presume what these operations are looking for is a weakness in their system, and they're going to exploit that. What we've also seen here in Ireland, and it's something that has really fascinated me, is we talk about cartels and we talk about gangs. But what we've seen in Ireland in the last couple of years is individuals who have had no links to crime in the past, and perhaps a very legitimate businesses, they are being targeted as a way of bringing cocaine or perhaps storing and handling cocaine in the country.
What cocaine cartels obviously love is being able to use a legitimate business to bring product in, to use legitimate business to launder their money. I mean, this is gold for them because it's more difficult to detect and investigate. So yes, you know, logistics companies, in particular haulage companies, are targeted by cartels in order to bring product in. I mean, they're major players in this. But, you know, you're talking everything from accountants. I mean, that's a major job in a cartel where there's so much money. How do they hide it? How do they launder it? So accountants are extremely important. People who produce documentation are extremely important for cartels in terms of passports and travel documents, you know, commercial documents for shipments and so on. We mentioned there about they have a cell structure. If one cell is caught, they don't know anything about the other cells. So you have a cell involved in bringing the product over. You have a cell involved, that would be the boat team, and you have a maritime team who are on the likes of the ribs, the fast boats that we might have heard of in recent weeks that go out and collect it. You have a ground team then that collect the product on land and bring it north. So, and then you have a control team in Dubai, as with the MV Matcha case and in many other cases, who direct operations often by either encrypted apps or encrypted telephone or communications.
The likelihood is that if there's a detection, it'll be on one particular element of the team and the rest of the team is safe and protected.
So, like in the most recent case and in the MV Matcha case, you might have the all teams, the maritime team could be caught and some of the crew members. It's difficult to detect with crew members who's involved unless you have found a communication device who's involved. So you have different teams, but they might know nothing about each other.
And we always talk about cocaine, but we have seen crystal meth seizures in this country as well. We saw Nathan McDonald, that Kerry businessman, jailed for 12 years for helping an organised crime group with links to the Sinaloa. Cartel?
Yeah, that's right.
In Mexico.
The Mexican cartel is the most notorious one. Well, that was a highly, highly unusual case because we've never had it before. So this was over half a ton of crystal meth, a colossal amount, bound for Australia. Australia is one of the major markets for crystal meth. But that was quite a sophisticated operation as well. But it shows the extent to which Ireland is like a trans-shipping point to other locations around the world as well. So it's coming in at all angles.
We talked about the money being made here, right? This is extremely lucrative. We're talking about cartels literally making billions of dollars out of this. How vulnerable is our coastline and how difficult is it for our coastline to be guarded?
Well, you can't stamp out this trade. It's physically not possible. In Ireland, we all know, and the cartels know as well, that our naval and air assets are sorely depleted. I mean, it's constantly, regularly in the news. Our navy is very weak. We are lucky to put one long-range patrol ship out at sea at any one time. We have a maritime area, 6 to 7 times the size of Ireland, to try and patrol. They have extensive fisheries duties as well as security duties. That's not going to change very soon. I mean, the staffing crisis in the naval service is particularly acute. Last year was the first year in a long time that they had more people coming in than leaving. Hopefully that will continue, but it will take a long time before we get to the target that the government has set, following an expert report that was published in February 2022. So the options, you know, we looked into this week are on the end of technology. So could we invest in a military drone, which could be used to provide much longer and much more extensive monitoring of our sea area than we have at the moment? They're expensive. They're very expensive. It could cost 100 million euro for two of them. Denmark, which is the size of Ireland, albeit a member of NATO, has invested in satellite technology, which we don't have. They have also invested recently in what are surface drones. So these sail basically along the sea and they can provide extensive surveillance both of the sea and subsurface. We all saw, or most of us would have seen, the dramatic footage of MV Matthew and the skill and professionalism of the Navy and the Air Corps in managing to carry out a fairly dramatic military raid on a moving ship in bad weather. I mean, it was extraordinary.
The fast roping from the helicopter onto the deck was phenomenal to see.
They had no cover, though. So if anything, and military love having cover, I mean, if anything went wrong with the helicopter, or if there was more resistance from the container, we would have been in trouble. And in the meantime, in the drugs trade, the drugs are coming in big time.
Cormac O'Keefe, that was fascinating. Thank you for joining us today on News Talk Daily. And if you want to read more of Cormac O'Keefe's analysis, do check out the Irish Examiner. Thanks, Cormac.
Thank you.
Well, do check out the Go Loud app or newstalk.com. If you'd like to hear other episodes of News Talk Daily, I'd like to recommend our recent chats about things like the 7/7 attacks. Would you believe it's 20 years since those incidents in London? And we look inside the minds of the suicide bombers who were responsible and ask, could it happen again? And also we look at Graham Dwyer and how the guards caught him using forensic psychology. And for something a little lighter, we have a deep dive into the world of Manchester music legends, Oasis. Well, until tomorrow morning, folks, from me, Ciara Doherty, have a great day.